Wow, what an amazing Sunday. This is Easter Sunday, and we can sing and we can dance, we can rejoice, because Jesus, He is alive. Hallelujah, is that amazing that we serve a God who is risen? We don't serve a God of the past. We don't serve a God who is somewhere in the infinite eternity somewhere. We serve a God who is alive and alive in you and in me. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is alive in you. So, wasn't that choir amazing? Yes. Weren't they amazing? Let's give them another hand because they put so much into this day. Praise the name of Jesus. So, I want to wish you all a very blessed and a happy Easter. And I want to thank some of the team here because they've done an amazing job. The choir, you're just amazing this morning. I just want to thank you for coming and your determination to sing and to come together as a choir. I just want to thank Sharon because she is one amazing conductor. We are so blessed to have Sharon with us. You know, she's poured out everything she's got into this choir now. Sincere thanks to you, Sharon. You've done an amazing job. Also thank Fernando. You know, his playing the piano is just amazing. And I just want to thank you, Fernando, for your commitment to this house. Thank you so much. And the band, who liked the band this morning? Isn't our band, our worship team, so good? They've done a fantastic job. And all behind the scenes, we have an amazing team of people, the setup team, who were here last evening setting everything up, who were here this morning making sure everything was fine for when you walked in. You thought, wow, this looks good. And what's coming later is going to be even better. And so I don't want you to run away, but I want to stay behind and give your hands right now for the team, that's the setup team of the church, because they've done an amazing job. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And if you're visiting here for the first time, welcome. Welcome from me. I'm the pastor of the church. My name is Sam Jayakrishna, and it's a joy to welcome you this morning. So, my message for this morning is Jesus Christ, but not superstar. I've called him the mega, mega star, and I'll tell you why. It's the most important calendar or day in the Christian calendar. And Christians around the world today are celebrating Easter. Many of you would have turned on the news this morning and you would have noticed that people are anti-Christian. They're anti the resurrection day of Jesus Christ. In Sri Lanka today, you would have read on the news, there have been churches that have been bombed and hotels that have been bombed. Why? It's because there's something resurrecting, something that's powerful about the name of Jesus. And this morning, I want to expound to you the real person called Jesus. Today is Resurrection Sunday. And if there is one differentiating factor between Christianity and any other religion that you might want or know, it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, your Christianity, my Christianity, your faith and my faith would be in vain. It would be useless. But because Jesus, not only did he die, but on the third day, he rose again. They can go anywhere, but there's no relic. There is no bone. There is nothing, no tooth. There is nothing that you can find of Jesus. Why? Because he rose again and he's alive today. We sang that song, hallelujah, Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory. The grave could not hold Jesus in the tomb. Death could not hold Jesus. He rose again triumphantly. Satanic forces thought that this was the end of Jesus. They may have been shouting, hallelujah, saying Jesus is dead. But little did they know that on the third day, Jesus rose again as the victor, as the conqueror over sin and death. Some of us would recognize the song we sang from earlier from Jesus Christ Superstar. And I wanted to say, I want to expand to you this morning that Jesus was more than a superstar. I call him a mega, mega star. And I'll tell you why. Let me put up the first slide there. When someone calls themselves or himself a superstar, the focus is all about the person, correct? The focus is always on the person. It is very self-centered. The superstar is saying, look at me. Look at what I have done. Look at what a genius I am. And superstars, what do? They live in the lap of luxury. Whatever they take from their fans, and they make a killing and live extravagant lives, correct? Yeah. Whose house is that? Can you guess? Beckham's, yeah. No offense to Beckham, sorry. I just found that. I thought, yeah, good. Praise God for Beckham. He's a good guy. Contrast that to Jesus. Let's look at Jesus. Where was he born? In a smelly stable. Animals were kept in that stable. His lifestyle was very simple. He did not live in the lap of luxury. Jesus did not come to pump himself up. He actually came to lay his life down for you and for me. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That we read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. That's why Jesus came. He came to lay down his life for you and for me, and to destroy the works of the devil. That's why the grave could not hold Jesus. He rose again. And because he's alive, you and I can come alive in Jesus right now, today, right in this place. So when we read some of the lyrics of the song that I just sang, there are some fundamental errors in the song. As Jesus typified as someone else, but I want to present to you the real Jesus. That's what I want to do this morning. And Isaiah the prophet, he lived 400 years before Jesus was born. And if you read chapter 53 of Isaiah, verses 2 to 4, you will read this. He, means Jesus, he grew up in his presence like a young tree, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that would make us look at him. He had nothing in his appearance that would make us desire him. Verse 3, he was despised and rejected. I thought of that for a moment. I was thinking, how could people living at that time reject this person called Jesus, who was transforming lives, who was doing miracles all around them? People were raised from the dead. People, the lame were walked, the blind saw, the deaf heard. People who were paralyzed were healed. How could people not believe in Jesus? But the word says he was despised and rejected by people. He was a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. He was despised like one from whom people turn their faces, and we didn't consider him to be worth anything. Verse 4, he certainly has taken upon himself our suffering, which means our sickness and disease, and carried our sorrows. That means he's carried our pain. But we thought that God had wounded him, beat him, and punished him. God did not wound Jesus. God did not beat Jesus. Neither did God punish Jesus. Then who did? We. You and I did that to Jesus. Why? It was because of our sinful state that Jesus came. He left all that he had. He left all his royalty. We read that in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And if you read verses 6 to 11, you'll probably see it on the screen. It says this, Jesus, who, though he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights as God. Verse 7 says, but he laid aside his mighty power and glory. He took on the disguise of a slave. He became like a man. And he humbled himself even further, going so far as actually to die a criminal's death on a cross. People who were crucified were terrible criminals. It was a shameful thing to hang, to die on a cross. Yet Jesus chose to die and hang on the cross, taking your shame,
my shame, your disappointments, my disappointments, your hang-ups, my hang-ups, and everything pertaining to us, Jesus took that shame on the cross of Calvary. Then it says in verse 9, yet, say yet, it was because of this that God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, say, name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? That we have a Jesus whose name is above every name. That's why we can use the name of Jesus. You and I who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you and I who have experienced the power of God in our lives through salvation, and salvation simply means accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, acknowledging your sin and receiving forgiveness for sin and for those things that we have done wrong in our lives, because Jesus died and for our sin, he's able to set us free from our sin, because he shed his blood for us. That's why it's only Jesus who can do that. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Is Jesus Christ a mega, mega star or not? Isn't he a mega, mega star? Oh, superstars don't stand anywhere near. They cannot even touch anything of him. Who else in all the universe has done anything even close to what Jesus has done for us? You know what? In Matthew 26:53, we read this, that Jesus could have called down legions of angels to rescue him, but he didn't. He didn't. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, we read this, a key scripture, and the purpose for which God sent his son was simply because God loved us so much. And he knew in order for salvation, in order to save mankind from the clutches of evil and the enemy, Jesus had to shed his blood for us. And so I think it must have hurt God a lot to want to send his son to die on the cross for us. But God loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice. You know, when you love something or love somebody, you're willing to sacrifice, correct? How many parents, how many mothers, how many dads would sacrifice everything and anything for their kids? They would. Even if it took them, you know, time and effort and money and whatever else it cost them, they'll be willing to do it. Why? Because they love their kids. That's how God views you and me. He loves us so much that he was willing to send his son to die on the cross for us. God gave his most precious gift for us. Jesus came not to condemn us. The Bible tells us he didn't come to do that. He came to give us eternal life. Isn't that amazing? You are not condemned this morning. Jesus never condemns anybody. You know, if there's one place, or if I call it a religion, I don't generally call Christianity a religion. I call it a relationship with Jesus, because it's more than a religion. What is religion? Religion is man's search for God. Man doing in whatever way they can, by doing things, by sacrificing things, by going on pilgrimages, by, burning incense or going to some altars and doing all sorts of things. They try to attain something in themselves to reach God, but God did the opposite. He said, you can't touch me because I'm holy. I'll do the opposite to what you are trying to do. And he sent Jesus. And so wherever you are, you don't have to go to a holy shrine. You don't have to go to Timbuktu or Tokyo or anywhere else where there's a shrine. Wherever you are seated now, you can say, Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. See, there's one baseline for all of us. All have sinned. All have sinned. That includes me. And we have fallen short of God's standards. That's what has happened to us. But doesn't end there. Through Jesus, we can be reconciled back to God the Father. And it comes simply by acknowledging who Jesus is. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it kind of baffles me as to why people would, you know, I come from Sri Lanka, and so Sri Lanka is predominantly Buddhist, and then we have Hindus, and we have the Muslims, and we have various other religions as well. And people do all sorts of things to try and please the gods. They do. But with Jesus, all you have to do is say, Jesus, I acknowledge who I am. I'm a sinner. Jesus, save me. Jesus, set me free. You know, people are bound by so many things. You know, the pressures of life, past experiences, past things bind people today. You know, the only person that can set you free is Jesus. You can try everything. You can try go through all the therapy. And thank God for the therapists, because we need them. But the only person who can change your heart, change your attitude, is Jesus. No one else. No therapist can do that. They can give you steps as to how to live, how to manage your behavior. But Jesus can change it completely just in a moment. You know, I get excited when I talk about Jesus. Do you see that? I start to cry sometimes, because I just think, how can we refuse such a great offer? In John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus says this: the thief, say thief, he comes to do three things, steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he comes for. Jesus said, my purpose is to give life in all its fullness. Isn't that a mega, mega Jesus? Hallelujah. Praise God. Here's the question for you, though. Are you looking for purpose? Are you looking for meaning in life? Have you suffered at the hands of this thief, the devil, Satan, whose purpose, who has robbed you of God's good for you, God's best for you? The enemy has robbed us of God's best for us. Why? His purpose is threefold: steal, kill, destroy. That's his objective. Don't get fooled by the enemy. The enemy ain't for you. He's against you. He might come in the form of an angel. He might put things in front of you that look so brilliant, like bright lights, big city. But when you go into those cities, there's sin right in the middle of it. And that's how the enemy is. Don't let him fool you. It is futile to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result, correct? Sometimes we keep doing the same thing every day and we expect something else to happen. It cannot happen. It'll never happen. Something has to change. And here's the thing. If you desire life to the full, then come to the only person who can make it happen. And his name is Jesus. Only he can fix our lives. Why? Because he made us. He created us in his image. He breathed his life into us. It's like if you want something fixed, if you take a TV, if it breaks, where do you take it to? The manufacturer. Why? Because he knows how to fix the TV, correct? When our lives break down, don't run to the solicitor. Don't run to the therapist. Don't run to the psychologist. They're all good, by the way. I'm not against any one of them. But run to the Creator. Run to the one who made you. Because he can fix you. Because he knows who you really are. So my question is, what are we going to do with Jesus, this mega star? Is it going to be just another good Sunday, Easter Sunday service, a good Easter Sunday message? I hope it's good. Is it going to be chocolates? I don't know how this came. How did the bunny come about? I just can't get it. I mean, bunny, what resemblance does a bunny have to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I don't know. Does somebody know? Anybody? Let it not be just a bunny Sunday or a chocolate Sunday, but let it be your day to experience this amazing person called Jesus for yourself. I cannot do it for you. Neither of us can do it for you. You got to do it yourself. I'm not asking you to join a church or join this church. I'm not asking you to do anything weird. All I'm asking you to do is to give Jesus a chance to change your life, to change your situation for the better. How many want a change of heart, a change for the better? Anyone here wants a change for the better? Or are we all doing great? Who's doing superbly great this morning? I'd like to shake your hand. You know what? We all need fixing. We do. And I want you to experience. I don't want you to go another day trying to fix yourself. You'll never do it. You won't. I want you to know that Jesus can. He can. How many today are determined to do something different? Because if you do the same thing, you'll have the same thing coming back to you. But if you're willing to do something different can happen. There could be a breakthrough in your life. Today, now, I want to show you this video. It's an amazing video, and I want you to watch it. I want to internalize it. I want to see the power of the name of Jesus. Let's go to this video, and I'll come back.
My Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him. But yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's immovable.
Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar, oh, Christ the King.
Hallelujah, come on, let's just worship Him.
Words can't describe who Jesus really is. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to come to know this Jesus. Let's all just close our eyes for a moment. This is a solemn moment. This is a moment where you connect with Jesus Christ. It's your moment. And I want to give this opportunity for anyone here. If you're really thinking this morning, I've heard so much about this person called Jesus. I've known him historically. Yes, I've done some religious studies in school. I've gone to church. But do I really know him? This morning you can know Jesus. Where every head is bowed and eyes closed, if you really want to know Jesus, I wanted to be bold this morning. See, Jesus, he hung on the cross. He was public. Everybody saw him. They mocked him. They slapped him. They scourged him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They stripped him of all his garments. They spat on him. I mean, that's the most humiliating thing, right? Somebody spitting in your face. They did that. And if you really want this Jesus, I'd like to see your hand. Only me looking around. Just slip it up. If you really want this Jesus, thank you so much. So many hands raised up this morning. Just pray this prayer with me today. Say, Jesus, you can pray all together. Say, Jesus, I recognize I'm a sinner. I come to you because you are the Savior. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I want to be your child. I want you in my life. And Holy Spirit, quicken. Make me alive in Jesus. I thank you that I'm your child right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant that prayer today, Jesus has healed you. Jesus has touched your life. You are a person who's come to know you've gone from death to life. You have touched the eternal. Now, you may not have felt goosebumps, and it's nothing to do with that. It's what happens in your heart. You will notice and you will find that something has changed in you. That old nature, that old character has changed. You're not the same person anymore. The Bible says everything becomes new when you come to Jesus. And if you want to give you a little gift, if you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles with us today. If you want some literature, we have that as well to give you free today. Why? Because we know that you need the Bible. You need the Word of God. It's like food every day. You need the Word of God to read and allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your life. So we're willing to give you that free. If you need a Bible, please speak to one of our guys at the back and they will gladly give you a Bible. Thank you, Father. God, I just want to say thank you for those who raised their hands today. I thank you, Lord, that they have touched eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. You are so amazing. You are so good. You're so awesome. Such a joy to serve you and to know, Lord, that you are not a respecter of persons. You love everybody. Everybody, respective of who we are, where we come from, what our background is, what our ethnicity is, what orientation we have. It doesn't really matter to you, Lord. You still love us so much, and we thank you for that. Lord, we bless your name this morning. We thank you that you are alive today. You're alive, Jesus. And we bless you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen and amen. God bless you this morning. We're going to go out with a song of praise. And remember that we have a great hospitality team right behind those curtains with some great treats and some great food there for you. We want you to enjoy the hospitality that's provided today. Get to know one another. We have some cards that you can fill out. We would really love to keep in touch with you and let you know about what we do here. And if you want to come and be part of what we do here, we always are very welcoming. I hope you received a good welcome this morning when you came to this place. We would love to see you again. And we are here every Sunday at 11. So God bless you. God go with you. Let's go out with a song of praise. Praise the name of God.
Risen. Risen, he's risen, forever glorified.